السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أهلا وإياكم أبا يوسف، how are you؟
الحمد لله بخير.
How are you going؟
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are still in the chapter regarding Husn Al-Khuluq إذا فقه حسن الخلق إذا فقه. We are on the chapter about that when the person becomes a learned person, when he becomes a person of knowledge, it becomes more incumbent on him to be of nice character. We can see this huge religious responsibility that comes along with learning and being a person that is ascribed to learning, knowledge. One of the things that is connected to it, that is so incumbent on the one that Allah blesses with the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the Sunnah, the knowledge of the Athar of the Companions, the matters of the Deen. When you become favored by Allah with these things, it becomes more incumbent on you that your character is sound. One of the things you are required to do once Allah blesses you with knowledge, or you are upon the path of seeking knowledge, is that your character must be sound. It becomes more incumbent on you that your character is sound. And as such, it becomes more required of you to seek the means to making sure that your character is sound. It becomes so necessary for you to seek the means by which your character becomes sound. You will be a person of sound worship. You will be a person of honesty. You will be a person that can preserve the trust that is granted to him by the people. You will be a person who is benevolent. You will be a person who connects with the rest of the people. You will be a person who is easy with the rest of the people. You will be a person who has at-tagaful. The ulama say at-tagaful is behaving sometimes as if you have not heard something, a wrong directed to you. The ulama used to say that at-tagaful min al-hikmah, behaving as if you did not hear sometimes, behaving as if you did not see sometimes, not wanting to probe it all sometimes. This is part of sound character. Likewise, as-sabr, patience. Likewise, al-haya, to have bashfulness, and so on and so forth, from the aspects of the issues related to nice character. So as a person of knowledge, you have much bigger responsibility on you to be sure that you learn and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you sound character. And that's what we find in the life of Abu Darda in the last hadith we read yesterday. In recognition of the necessity to be of sound character, Abu Darda, Umar ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, yakumu al-layla yusalli, he will stand up in the midnight to observe salah. Fajala yabki, and then he will be weeping, he will cry. This goes to make us understand that it is something that he really wanted. It is something that he took so passionate. Fajala yabki wa yakul, he will go on crying. and saying in his supplication, Allahumma ahsan takhalki, ahassin khuluki. O Allah, ahsan takhalki. O Allah, you have perfected my appearance. Ahassin khuluki. Perfect my character, O Allah. That is closing the expression that the Prophet too would use, alayhi salatu wasalam, as in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that was collected by Imam Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam would make dua and say, Allahumma ahsanta khalki, O Allah, you have perfected my physical appearance. Fa ahsin khuluki, perfect my character too, O Allah. And he repeatedly said that in dua al-istiftah. And when Ummu Darda, upon an amazement, would ask her husband, Abu Darda, Uwaymir ibn Malik, why is it that the entire night, you would spend the entire night begging Allah to perfect your character? Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, being a person of knowledge from amongst the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave a knowledge-based answer. Said, Inna al-abd al-Muslim, yahsun khulukuhu. The Muslim, the servant, the Muslim, yahsun khulukuhu. His character will become nice. His behavior will become nice. Hatta yudkhilahu husnu khulukihi al-jannah. He will become nice in character every day, every now and then. He will perfect his character, being better in his character and his dealings with the people. And then gradually, he is being nice with the people, his nice character. Yudkhiluhu al-jannah. It will be a means by which he will enter al-jannah. وَيَسِيءُ خُلُقُهُ. And at another time, the Muslim servant would have his character bad. The character will continue to depreciate. He will continue to get worse in the manner he handles his relationship with the rest of the people. He will continue like that. Hatta yudkhilahu su'u khuluqihi an-nar. Hatta yudkhilahu su'u khuluqihi an-nar. Until his bad character will be the reason why he will be hauled into the fire. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of nice character. It all means that nice character is not about a claim. It's something we have to work for. It's something we have to pray for. We work for our earnings daily. We work for it. We travel distances to make earnings, to have halal food on the table for our parents, for our children, for our wives, and the rest of our dependents. Likewise, good character deserves that. We pay good attention to it and struggle to learn it. We had repeatedly mentioned from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he pointed out that good character has to be learned. It's not something you just come by overnight. You have to make good efforts to start learning until it becomes a part of you. The Prophet had said alayhi salatu wasalam, Man tasabbara sabbarahu Allah. Man tasabbara sabbarahu Allah. Whoever learns to be patient, Allah will make him become a patient person. It means nice character is learned, and it is not an easy thing to come by. May Allah make us from the people of sound character and protect us from evil character. As he is the one who is absolutely able to do that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. In Hadith 291, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abu Nu'man, Qala Haddathana Abu Awana, An Ziyad ibn Alaqa, An Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, An Usamata ibn Sharik, Qala, كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وجاءت الأعراب ناس كثير من ها هنا وها هنا فسكت الناس ولا يتكلمون غيرهم فسكت الناس ولا يتكلمون غيرهم، فقالوا يا رسول الله أعلينا حرج في كذا، في أشياء أعلينا حرج في كذا وكذا، في أشياء من أمور الناس لا بأس بها. فقال يا عباد الله، وضع الله الحرج إلا امرأ افترض امرأ ظلما فذاك الذي حرج وحلك. قالوا يا رسول الله أنا تداوى داء إلا غير داء واحد. قالوا وما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال الهرم. قالوا يا رسول الله، ما خير ما أعطي الإنسان؟ قال خلق حسن، عليه الصلاة والسلام. قالوا يا رسول الله، ما خير ما أعطي الإنسان؟ قال خلق حسن. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Nu'man, and Abu Nu'man from among the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. His name is Muhammad Ibn Al-Fadl Al-Sadusi. His name is Muhammad Ibn Al-Fadl Al-Sadusi. He is Abu Nu'man. Abu Nu'man is well known for one thing amongst the scholars in his time in Al-Basra, where he lived, and that is Ihkam wa Itqan al-Salah. He observed Salah so perfectly. If a person wanted to learn Salah, if a person wanted to perfect his Salah, if a person wanted to see a person who would observe Salah correctly, they went to Abu Nu'man, because when he observed Salah, he perfected the conditions, he perfected the pillars, he perfected the obligations, and he perfected the mustahabbat, those things that are encouraged in Salah, and he prays with full attention. So those who want to learn the Salah, and this is the kind of what Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal mentioned, and it was cited of him in Kitab al-Tawheed, the Sharh of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Al-Qawl al-Mufid. One slight difference between show off and teaching people from something you do very well. If you are a person who observes Salah very well, your recitation is good in Salah, you know the postures according to the Sunnah and the narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and all of these, and you want to observe Salah where the large majority of the people looking at you are people who perhaps don't observe the Salah correctly, you can have an intention that you want to show them the Salah as it ought to be properly observed. This kind of an intention is not an intention of show off. I want you to learn the Salah from me. More so if he is a person who is known for good knowledge and good character that the people can copy from, people can imitate. If you are a person, people imitate you. You can have an intention that I want to observe this Salah so that the rest of the people see it and learn how to observe Salah. This intention is sound, and it is not from the aspects of show off. It can come in other aspects of the deen too. Maybe some financial sacrifice is required. You can come in front so that when you come in front, the rest of the people too are encouraged to do that. But if it is just to seek their approval, for them to recognize you as the one who perfects Salah just for personal recognition and aggrandizement, you want to become popular for it, not that you want to teach them. You want to purposely seek popularity for that, and that is show off. So there's a very thin line between these, and show off between doing something so that the people can learn it correctly. And the messenger is to do that, alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many examples where the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, did something in the open and publicly so that the people can see and learn. In fact, the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwairis, when the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, is an example. Observe the salah. You see me observe by way of a lot of examples in the Sunnah of the Salah. One of those who was known for this in Basra during his time was Abu Nu'man Muhammad ibn al-Fadl al-Sadusi rahimahullah, the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, Haddathana Abu Awana. Abu Awana was also from amongst the great scholars of Islam and Sunnah. His name is Al-Waddah ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri. Abu Awana in this tabaka, he is Al-Waddah ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri. He is Abu Awana in this isnad. And he is reporting from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa. Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, rahimahullah, Abu Malik, he is the one who only reported this hadith from this companion, Usama ibn Sharik. Usama ibn Sharik al-Sa'labi, radiyallahu anhu, is the companion who reported this hadith. No one has reported that hadith from Usama ibn Sharik, except Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, Abu Malik, rahimahullah. And from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, Abu Malik, about 10 amongst the great scholars of Islam have reported the hadith. So the scholars would say, Rawahu ashratun min a'immati al-Muslimin. And Ziyad ibn Ilaq, about 10 from amongst the leading scholars of Islam have reported this hadith from Ziyad ibn Ilaq, who was the only person that reported that hadith from Usama ibn Sharik. The likes of Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna reported from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, and Abu Awana himself, Waddah ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri, as we have in this isnad. Likewise, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. Likewise, Al-Imam Mis'ari ibn Kidam, and so on and so forth from among those who have been reported in the books of hadith variously, who have reported this hadith from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa. And Ziyad ibn Ilaqa took that hadith from Usama ibn Sharik al-Sa'labi, radiyallahu anhu. Usama ibn Yazid al-Sa'labi attended the Hajj, the Hajjatul Wada, the Hajj, the farewell Hajj that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam observed before he passed away. Usama ibn Sharik was in that Hajj with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the various other chains of reports of this hadith showed that this incident took place while they were in Hajj. The various other asanid chains of reports and expressions of this narration showed that this event took place when they were at Hajj with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Usama ibn Sharik said, Kuntu inda al-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa ja'at al-A'rab. I was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then some Bedouins came. In another expression of this hadith, Usama ibn Sharik said, Ataytu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam وأصحابه عنده كأنما على رؤوسهم الطير. أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وأصحابه عنده, and his companions were with him. كأنما على رؤوسهم الطير. They were silent. They were quiet. They were seated. listening to him alayhi salatu wasalam. Ka'annama ala ru'usihim al-dayf. It was as if there was a bird on their head. If a person was silent, if a person was gentle in a sitting, as if ka'annama ala ru'usihim al-dayf, as if they have a bird on their head, so that the bird does not fly away from repeated movement. This goes to make us understand how calm, how silent, how gentle the companions, radiallahu anhum, used to be when they sat with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is from their high ranking, respect, and show of esteem for him. Today, in our own times, when students sit with their teachers, they will be the one talking. They will be the one moving. They will be the one dictating the pace of the sitting. Some of the students, when they sit with teachers, they want to dictate the pace. They want to dictate what is said. So they start saying this, saying that, saying that. And in all of that, the entire discussion boils down to some sort of backbiting other people and slandering them. When students come in the gathering of their teachers, they should keep silent. The teacher would have one or two things to share with them. If people have questions now, but if there are no questions, in fact, I remember one of our teachers, if you visit him outside lesson times, someone comes, then another person, then another person. He starts asking who has a question, who has an issue to raise in the matters of the religion. When no one has an issue to raise, the next is that everybody goes away, so that you go and get busy with some other things. But when you sit down in the gathering with the teacher, and the teacher perhaps is teaching, explaining some things, now there is benefit. But when there is silence, he is silent, and there is no issue that's pressing that you want to raise. And that's why some of the students even begin to now ask the teacher his own matters. Did you eat today? Where did you go to today? They were, and just to be sure that there is some sort of talking in the gathering. Sometimes the way to conduct the gathering, and most of the times, that was how the companions of the Prophet were. When you see them in the gathering with him, they were silent. Anas ibn Malik said, we had been prohibited from talking, asking in front of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Usama ibn Sharik noted that point during Hajjatul Wada. And he had to say when he came. He had to say when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa ashabuhu indahu, his companions were with him. Ka'annama ala ru'usihim al-tayr. It was as if there was a bird on their head, because of how calm, how sedate, how highly they showed respect and esteem for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So back in our report in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it said, كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So when I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وجاءت الأعراب, and then some Arab Bedouins, they came, ناس كثير من ها هنا وها هنا. There were a lot of people from different places, from here and from there, people came to that gathering where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sitting. فَسَكَتَ النَّاسِ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ غَيْرَهُمْ. The companions themselves, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, all these regular companions who kept his company at all times, سَكَتُوا رَضِيَ. They were silent. They kept quiet. People kept quiet. لا يتكلمون غيرهم. The only people who were speaking were those Bedouins. Those Bedouins who were not in regular companionship, who only had the opportunity to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the only ones who spoke on that occasion. فقالوا. So from the things they said. رضي الله عنهم يا رسول الله O Messenger of Allah علينا حرج في كذا وكذا. Do we have sins do we have burdens, meaning do we become sinful, fi kaza wa kaza, regarding so and so matter, do we become sinful? They were asking the Prophet questions. Is this so and so matter, kaza wa kaza, alayna haraj, is there a burden on us if we do this, or if we say this, or if we do this? This is the lesson we must take again as a people in our own times. When you gather with your teachers, let it be about the deen. Ask questions if you have. Otherwise, remain silent. Sakata nas, the people were silent. The people who only had something to ask were the ones asking. The rest of the people were silent. Let us keep this huge manner when we relate with our scholars, with our teachers, with our people. Silence. Be silent. Don't seek to control what is discussed. Ask the questions if you have. If it's about a guide, ask a matter. Bismillah, Allah will provide guidance to us. So, but when we come to gatherings, we like to talk in every gathering, and then we want the teacher to be talking. Everybody's talking. This one says something, that one says something. And by the time you know it, we begin to offend ourselves in the gathering. So let us be decorous when we sit down in gatherings, as these companions were with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. It will help us to preserve our respect amongst ourselves and our honor amongst ourselves. So no one was talking except those ones who had come with questions, the Bedouins. And they began to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayna harajun fi kaza wa kaza, is so and so wrong? Do we have burdens? And Usama ibn Sharik said, fi ashiya'a min umuri nas. These questions they were asking about are regarding issues, things regarding the affairs of people. Fi ashiya alayna harajun. Alayna harajun fi kaza wa kaza. Fi ashiya min umuri nas. Do we have sins if we do so? Good to do so and so things. And of all these things they were asking about, they were in the regular affairs, regular human affairs, la ba'asadiha, things that were ordinarily lawful. In some other reports, it said that the people came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even about the rulings of Hajj. Some of them will say, I had stoned at the Jamarat before I slaughtered. They will say, la haraj. So the Prophet was saying, la haraj. The other one will say, oh, I have stoned. I want to make tawaful ifadha after that. He will say, if'al wa la haraj. He was saying, la haraj, la haraj. People were asking questions, and the Prophet was saying, there is no problem. There is no blame on you. You are not sinful if you do that. That's also allowed. They were asking him questions, and he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was responding to those questions. فَقَالَ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. From amongst the things, as the people asked the questions and the Prophet answered, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam, ya ibadallah, O slaves of Allah, O servants of Allah. He says, ya ibadallah, wada'a Allahu al-haraj. He says, ya ibadallah, wada'a Allahu al-haraj illa imra'an افترض امرأ ظلما فذاك الذي حرج وهلك وضع الله الحرج. Allah has removed blames on you. Allah has removed sins upon you. You are free of sins. You have all these things you are asking about. There is no sin regarding them. إلا امرأ, except a man. افترض امرأ ظُلْمًا فَذَاكَ الَّذِي حَرِجَ وَهَلَكَ. اِفْتَرَضَ امْرَأً. He began to slander and backbite his brother. Meaning that one of the things we must pay attention to whenever we are in a gathering is backbiting and slandering. Destroying your brother's reputation behind him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned the people. See, Allah has freed you, wada'a. Allah has removed from you the burdens. You don't have problems. You don't have burdens on you. More so, you are on Hajj. You are earning rewards, and your sins are removed and forgiven. Except a person, nala min akhihi, yani, as if to say, he goes on to cut because al-iqtirad is to make qatl. It's as if he cuts his brother. It's as if he injures his brother, perhaps using a knife or a sharp object. And would remember how Allah despised backbiting in Surah Al-Hijrat. He subhanahu wa ta'ala likened it to eating the flesh of the brother. Here, he likened it to cutting his flesh. So when you begin to backbite your brother behind him, when you begin to slander your brother, you destroy his reputation. This is when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَذَاكَ الَّذِي حَرِجَ وَحَلَكَ. The one who does that, he backbites his brother wrongfully. It's not as if he is reporting him in a case. He comes to the leader of the community to report a negative thing that his brother did. Or he went to another brother to report a case so that the matter could be taken up. Or that he is warning a person regarding another person with whom he may become deceived. Don't be deceived. This person, be careful about him. All of these are from the aspects of things where the individual can speak so that the people are careful regarding issues, regarding faults they should not ordinarily fall into. But someone wants to destroy the personality of the next person, or he just wants to, for a thing of play, for a normal gist, as we call it in our own times, he wants to be mentioning the faults and the flaws of the other Muslim, or perhaps taking for a thing of joke, for a thing of jest amongst the people. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who does this, فَذَاكَ الَّذِي حَرِجَ وَحَلَكَ, that is the one that has burdens on him, وَحَلَكَ, and becomes destroyed. The one who has burdens on him and becomes destroyed is the one who becomes busy with backbiting his brother and slandering his brother. And that's why if you go to the other reports of this hadith, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِلَّا رَجُلٌ اِقْتَرَضَ مِنْ رَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ اِقْتَرَضَ مِنْ رَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ, except an individual who destroys the reputation of another Muslim, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ, while he is the one who is wrong. It's not as if he has been wrong. He wants to complain about a wrong. No, the brother did not offend you such that you want to report him, or you want to discuss the matter so that it is handled. No, you only want to destroy his personality. You are slandering, you are backbiting him, you are mentioning his faults in the front of the people. This is the one, harija wa halaka. This is the one that has carried burdens on his head, and he will be destroyed. May Allah protect us. Qalu ya Rasulallah. Then they asked the messenger again, alayhi salatu wassalam, anatadawa ya Rasulallah, anatadawa, should we seek medical attention? Should we seek treatment for our illnesses? Because some of the people may think, yes, as Muslims, when something happens, the person falls ill, he does not need to seek treatment. All he needs is dua. Hear what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala na'am ya ibadallahi tadawaw. Messenger said, yes, oh servants of Allah, listen to me. Tadawaw. Seek cure. Seek treatment. Seek medical attention. Seek cure for your illnesses. Seek treatment for your sicknesses. Tadawaw. Seek cure. Take medicines. So when you begin to hear that, some of the Muslims say in our own times that they are seeking closeness to Allah and they are upon the Sunnah. They will not take medical attention when they need such medical attention. We understand that that is no other than from, like they say, the figment of their own imaginations that they are referring to as Sunnah. The Sunnah is that the Messenger was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, anat tadawa, should we seek medical attention? Qala na'am. The Prophet said, yes, ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah, tadawaw, seek medical attention. This makes us understand that it is lawful in Islam to seek medical attention. It is lawful in Islam to take medicines, as long as those medicines are correct, are right, not like the one who seeks medicine from things that Allah has prohibited, like alcohol, consuming alcohol, gin, and all these. There are some of the people who are still far behind in terms of seeking medical attention, thinking that these things will bring them cure, while these things are actually means of destroying themselves further. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam generally gave us that advice. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ya ibadallahi tadawaw, fa inna allaha lam yada'a da'an illa wada'a lahu shifa'a. He said, fa inna allaha, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lam yada'a da'an, he has not placed any illness on the earth. There is not an illness on the earth, illa wada'a lahu shifa'a, except that he has placed a cure for it. There's a cure for every illness. When you find an illness, there's a cure for an illness. In another report, it was said that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding the fact that for every illness there's a cure, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu. Those who know the cure know the cure. The one who does not, those who does not, who do not know the cure, do not know the cure. But the fact that a person does not know the cure does not mean that there is no cure. And that's why even in medical, modern day medical terminologies, they will say no cure is known. It has no known cure at the moment. That is, they don't know the cure now. And then they begin to search. They begin to search. It means the issues regarding cure are about ignorance and knowledge. You may be ignorant of the cure while the cure is available. The fact that you are ignorant of the cure does not mean that it does not have a cure. So for every illness, inna allaha lam yada' da'an illa wada'a lahu shifa'a. Allah has not placed any da', any illness you find. COVID-19, at the beginning, it was said not to have a cure. And gradually, cure started to come. Gradually, means of prevention started to come. And so on and so forth. HIV, it is today, they still say it has no known cure. And there are records of people perhaps who did a few things and became cured. Some people took Zamzam, there are reports, clear cut, documented reports. People took Zamzam one way or the other, Allah cured them. People took other things and they got cure for their illnesses that would have been declared not to have a cure or not to be of a known cure, meaning that the cure is available, it is not just known. And it may be known to some people and unknown to the generality of the people. It still does not mean that there is no cure for illnesses. So let us find it. We go on searching. We go on asking. Moving from one hospital to the other. Moving from one doctor to the other. Finding out what is this? What do we need to do? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah, tadawaw, seek cure for your illnesses. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَضَعْ دَاءً إِلَّا وَضَعَ لَهُ شِفَاءً. Because Allah has not created an illness. Allah has not brought an illness in existence. إِلَّا وَضَعَ لَهُ شِفَاءً. Except that He has also created for it a cure. غَيْرَ دَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. Except a single illness. قَالُوا. They asked the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is that single illness that has no cure? What is it? The illness without cure. What is it? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-harim, al-harim, al-kibar, old age. Old age has no cure. Old age has no cure. The only thing old age leads to is death. Just like what relieves the pregnant woman is delivery. When the pregnant woman, heavily pregnant, delivers her baby, then that's all. Likewise, when the aged, old age passes away, then that's all. But the illnesses of my head, my leg, my waist, they will be there. Sometimes the doctors will say, take paracetamol. When the aged person says, oh, but another one said, take this. They become tired and say, look, you have to be patient. There is nothing we can do because you are old already. You can see how difficult it becomes sometimes to search for veins in old people. They search, 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 search. So the Prophet said, alayhi salat, there is nothing that will reverse old age. If you have headache, something can reverse it. If you have COVID-19, by the power of Allah, something can reverse it. If you have whatever illness, you can have something that will reverse that condition. But as for old age, it has no reversal. It can only grow and then the person passes away. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-harim, old age, al-kibar, old age, it has no medicine that will reverse old age. Qalu ya Rasulallah. They asked another question. Look at how they survived with simple answers. Whenever it was not clear, they asked for more. Whenever they got the clear-cut answer, they kept quiet. In our own times, students ask endless questions. Endless. Sometimes questions to just make sure the teacher begins to say, okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. If he's a careful person, if he's a careful teacher, he says, I don't know. The matter ends there. Because the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and even the Quran prohibited us from kasratul masail. Kasratul masail, asking questions, asking questions, asking questions. Sometimes some of the questions become irrelevant. But if you look at these companions, they ask simple questions, got simple answers, moved to other questions, got simple answers, moved to other questions, got simple answers, and so on. And they were able to benefit from various aspects of the responses of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to each of those questions. So they came to another question. Qalu ya Rasulallah. They said, Messenger of Allah, ma khayru ma u'tiya al-insan. And this is the point of reference why this hadith has been placed under this chapter heading. The chapter about the necessity for a learned person to be of good character. The necessity, the learned person, if the rank and file of the generality of the Muslims are encouraged to be upon good character, it is more incumbent upon you who is ascribed to knowledge. May Allah protect all of us and grant us good character. So the Messenger was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma khayru ma u'ti al-insan, what is the best of what an individual may be favored with? What is the best of what an individual may be granted? What is the best of what an individual may be bestowed by Allah? What is the best gift that an individual may be given? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, khulukun hasanun. Khulukun hasanun. Good character. Nice character. Noble character. Because when your character is nice, your dealings with the people becomes nice. You are truthful in your dealings with them. You are patient when they offend you. You overlook their faults. Now, all of these doesn't mean not being firm when it requires that. Like the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, we read the hadith in the chapter about laughter and smile. When our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, told us about how the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, would still joke, he would still smile, he will still relate with the people. And when the issues regarding the limits of Allah being violated come up, you saw that the countenance of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would change. When the limits of Allah are violated, the Messenger would not smile. He stopped smiling when the limits of Allah are violated. He changes his face, alayhi salam. His countenance will change. When the limits of Allah are violated, you see his countenance will change. And he never took a revenge except when the limits of Allah are violated. Someone commits adultery, the limits of Allah must be established. Someone steals, someone stole, and they came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to appeal to him to waive the legal punishment. Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, don't say that. The people who came before you were destroyed because of this. When an eminent person stole or did something violating legal limits, they overlooked because he's from the rich. But when the poor did that, they punished the person. So the Messenger was annoyed, and he insisted that legal punishment be implemented. So when the limits of Allah are violated, you don't see a laughing Messenger alayhi salam. You wouldn't see him smiling. His countenance changed because the circumstance required that. So that the person is patient, that the person is overlooking. It does not mean that when the situation required that, the countenance should change. And then people go on thinking that, no, you should still keep a smiley face in the circumstance when the countenance should change. It's not from wisdom. Wisdom is to place everything in their place. We get annoyed when the situation required that we got annoyed. And we are happy smiling when the situation called that we smiled. If a person came smiling when the situation required a countenance that is different from that, don't we refer to such persons as foolish? Don't we have reservations regarding the thinking, the ability of those kinds of persons to place things appropriately? So why do we think that in the circumstance when the limits of Allah are violated, we should keep a smiley face? This is not from nice character. It has another meaning. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked, ma khayru ma u'tiya al-insan, what is the best gift that the person may be provided with? He said alayhi salatu wasalam, khuluqun hasanun, nice character. Good behavior. This is from the best of what an individual may be gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that will suffice for hadith 291. We can quickly go to hadith 292 in the little time that we have. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Musa ibn Ismail, qala haddathana Ibrahim ibn Sa'd, قال أخبرنا ابن شهاب عن عبيد الله بن عبد الله بن عتبة أن عبد الله بن أن ابن عباس قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل وكان جبريل عليه السلام يلقاه في كل ليلة من رمضان يعرض عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم القرآن فإذا لقيه جبريل كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. الإمام البخاري reported from his Sheikh Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki. We had read a number of ahadith from Musa ibn Ismail. He is Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki رحمه الله. He said حدثنا إبراهيم ابن سعد قال أخبرنا ابن شهاب. الإمام ابن شهاب, he is Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah, and he is reporting from Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah. Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, one of the greatest scholars of hadith and fiqh from amongst the scholars of Medina. He is reporting from his Shaykh Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud. Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud was from amongst the biggest scholars amongst the Tabi'un, from amongst the eminent scholars in Medina at the time. Rahimahullah, he is the one who is reporting from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhuma, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was the most benevolent amongst the people, bil khair, in terms of benefiting the people with goodness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ajwad an-nas bil khair. He is amongst the most generous, is the most generous. Kana alayhi salatu wa salam ajwad an-nas. He was and he is the most generous of the people in terms of handing out goodness. Being generous is not just about money or possessions. We'd explain this repeatedly. Even good speech, good advice is from the aspects of generosity. Good advice. You are generous with your advice. You are generous with providing yourself to help the rest of the people, the rest of your brothers, the rest of your sisters. If you have possessions in addition to that, good. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam kana ajwad an-nasi alayhi salatu wasalam bil khair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of the people in terms of goodness. Look at how in the last hadith he provided himself answering the questions. He could have said, hey, look, I'm busy. Hey, I'm busy. Don't ask me. Don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Allah describes him, وَمَا رُسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِ. He's a means of mercy. He's mercy to the people. He's mercy to them. So when they have issues, they have questions, they have troubles, they have worries, they came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah chose him for that. Guide us. Answer our questions. These are our worries. Pray for us. Make things easy for us. Tell us what to do. This was what the Prophet was, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in all of that, he was very, very generous. We read the hadith of the Bidu'in who, after the Iqama was pronounced, he dragged the Messenger's cloth, alayhi salatu wasalam, and said, hey, fulfill my need first. And we read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. When he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رحيما, the Messenger was very, very merciful. He was very compassionate. Here, Ibn Abbas is saying, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير. Anas said, كان رسول الله رحيما. The Messenger was very, very compassionate. Ibn Abbas said, رضي الله عنه, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أجود الناس بالخير. He is very generous in terms of handing out goodness. These are people who were with him. They spent time with him. They related with him. They were with him. They kept companionship with him. And yet, this is all that they say about this Rasul. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was very generous. He was very compassionate. Wa kana ajwada ma yakunu fi Ramadan. And the best of the times when the Prophet was generous was in Ramadan. Take notes, brothers and women. The time the Messenger was most generous was in Ramadan. This means that there could be a good deed and there could be a time and a place where that good deed is most encouraged. A time and a place. So if you are a generous person, be more generous in Ramadan. The Messenger was a generous person, alayhi salatu wasalam. That generosity would skyrocket in Ramadan. So it means also that one of the times for us to be more generous is Ramadan. And that's why in Ramadan, you have two dates, you still want to share one of the dates. in Ramadan. You see this with us. Everybody wants to share something in Ramadan. This is from the blessings of that month. If a person was generous in Ramadan, he increased his generosity. This is from the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas ibn Malik had said he was compassionate. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Kana ajwada nas bil khair. Is the most generous of the people. Wa kana ajwada ma yakun. And the most generous he will be, alayhi salatu wasalam, yakunu fi Ramadan. It will be in the month of Ramadan. What will happen at those times? Hina yalqahu Jibreel. When Jibreel, alayhi salam, would come to meet him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel, wa kana Jibreel yalqahu fi kulli laylatin min Ramadan. And Jibreel would meet the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during every night in the month of Ramadan. Jibreel would come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every night of Ramadan. So in that instance, you see the Prophet giving out more. Some of the ulama pick from this and say that means when the favors of Allah upon you increases, then be more generous. When the favors of Allah upon you increases, when you get more guidance, you see that your deen has improved, your business is improved, your lifestyle is improving, your family life is improving, then be more generous. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gained that favor that Jibreel come to him every night, then he became more generous. When he gained that favor of Allah that Jibreel come to him every night, he became more generous, even though he is the most generous amongst the people even before Ramadan. So how generous would he be in Ramadan? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, وَكَانَ جِبْرِيلُ يَلْخَاهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ رَمَضَانٍ. Jibreel would come to meet the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam during every night in Ramadan. يَعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet would read the Quran to Jibreel, whatever had been revealed in that year from the beginning. Jibreel would listen to it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some of the reports, it said, فَيُدَارِسُونَهُ فَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ. So they will both be learning and reading the Quran. They will be learning and reading the Quran. Between the two of them, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would listen to the recitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He will be, read it to me, let me read it, read it. Read it to me. This one would happen on every night in the month of Ramadan. فَإِذَا لَقِيَهُ جِبْرِيلُ. So when Jibreel meets the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَجْوَدَ بِالْخَيْرِ. The Prophet becomes more generous with goodness again. Jibreel would meet him, and then the Prophet would go on being generous, generous, generous. Why? He gained more favors from his Lord. He met Jibreel, so he showed generosity. He met Jibreel, showed more generosity. He's being generous, he's giving gifts, he's paying attention to the people, he's praying for the people, he's guiding the people, and helping the people out of their troubles would increase in the month of Ramadan. When he met Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama say this is from evidence that when we meet eminent people, then we should, bi-ibnillah, increase upon our generosity. Wakana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwada bil khair min al-rih al-mursala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even ordinarily, kana ajwada bil khair. He was very, very generous in giving min al-rih al-mursala, much more than the free wind. The free wind. You see, we enjoy free wind. We call it free breeze. Feel cool breeze. It brings a lot of goodness. It satiates us. It calms us as fast as the wind is. So the Prophet was also fast. He quickly gave out things. And when he quickly did that, it is full of goodness, just like the free wind. The wind is fast. If we say something, we travel in the speed of wind. We are saying that it will travel so fastly, isn't it? And as for free wind, it brings goodness. So likewise, the prophet was likened to the free wind, meaning that he gave out things generously, quickly, and then that happens with a lot of goodness accompanying quick, generous handing out of goodness. Quickly. It comes quickly, and then it comes with a lot of goodness as Ar-Rihu Al-Mursala. May Allah make us from the people who are kind and generous to the rest of the people. The reason why this hadith has come under this chapter is that if you say you are a person of knowledge, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, you have a messenger to copy. You have a messenger to imitate. It is incumbent of you, as the prophet was described with mercy and compassion, as the prophet was described with generosity. A person who is learned should also be very generous. And this is what we usually hear and see from, wallahi, very, very learned people. If the person is very learned, one major thing you will always remember about him is generosity, because that is from the major symbols, from the major character traits you will learn from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, is what? Generosity. May Allah make us from the people of generosity. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. We took three reports. We revised the report 290, and then we read two new reports, 291 and 292. May Allah make what we hear, what we say, and listen to in this class is beneficial to us. May Allah make us from those whose physical appearance are good. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our character good also, as was the practice of the Prophet to make that dua. May Allah help us better our character. May Allah make us, help us better our dealings with the rest of the people, and make us from among those that he will grant his forgiveness regarding our errors and our shortcomings. I think we can stop here, inshallah, so that we can attend to some of the questions that have been asked. The question here, Abu Yusuf. Abu Yusuf, are you?
No, yes, you can.
Now, there's a question here, and perhaps that has come because of what I mentioned regarding Ziyad ibn Ilaqa in Hadith 291. The question says, please, what is Madarul Hadith, and how do we find Madarul Hadith? Madarul Hadith has to do with the chain of reports of a Hadith. Madarul Hadith has to do with the chain of reports. And what that means is man daro alayhi al-asanid, the chains of report of that hadith. From whom have all the people reported it? For example, we mentioned Ziyad ibn Ilaqa and said that 10 from amongst the A'imma. Ziyad ibn Ilaqa reported that hadith from Usama ibn Sharik al-Sa'labi. Usama ibn Sharik al-Sa'labi reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have Usama ibn Sharik, the companion radiallahu anhu, and then you have Ziyad ibn Ilaqa. In all of these, one, Usama alone reported this. Ziyad ibn Ilaqa reported from Usama ibn Sharik radiallahu anhu. And then from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, 10 persons reported it. And then from these 10, Allah alone knows the number of people. Therefore, we can compile them. We can go back. And this is one of the benefits of the book by Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf that he has titled Al-Musnad Al-Musannaf Al-Mu'allal. Al-Musnad Al-Musannaf Al-Mu'allal. This book occurs in 45 volumes. I saw in it yesterday the entire number of people who have reported this hadith from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa. So when I said Sufyan ibn Uyayna reported from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, when I said that Sufyan al-Thawri reported from Ziyad, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Mis'ar ibn Kidam, and all of these, Al-Imam al-Mas'udi, Al-Imam Abu Awana, there were 10 of them
It's well known. These are the people who have reported these tidings from Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, who reported from Usama ibn Sharik. In that case, Madarul Hadith, the person around whom the chains of reports all run back to, he is what? Ziyad ibn Ilaqa. So the ulama will say, Alayhi Madarul Hadith. So the Afanid, the various reports and roots of that hadith, Yerja Ilayhi, will go back to this person. Like the way you have a fulcrum. If you have a fulcrum, you know the fulcrum in basic physics, the entirety of the energy and the control of the direction would be based regarding the fulcrum itself. It's the major support that a system would have when it sits or when it stands. So if you hear the ulama say, alayhi madarul hadith, that is what it means. The person that it is from whom all the reports go. There could be one person, there could be two persons, there could be three persons, from whom the rest of the people will report the hadith. That's what the scholars of hadith refer to as madarul hadith. I hope that it is clear. The second question is, how do you know it? You check all the masadir. You check Sahih Bukhari for this hadith. You check Sahih Muslim. Like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in 292. It occurs in Sahih Bukhari. It occurs in Sahih Muslim. Likewise, the first hadith that we read, it occurs in many books of hadith. But as for the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Tana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwada nas bil khayr, it occurs in many books of hadith. So you begin to trace the various chain of reports from one book to the other until you are able to compile all those companions. It was not only reported by Ibn Abbas alone. Other companions have reported it. You will find this in the books of hadith, apart from Ibn Abbas. And this is the miza. This is the special thing about Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, he will mention what the ulama refer to as what is bad. He reports a hadith, he will say, there are those who have also reported a similar hadith, perhaps with the same expression or with a similar expression. He's saying, now say, Wafil Bab, An Abdullah ibn Abbas, or An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, or Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, or Aisha, and you start mentioning all these. They have also reported this hadith that you have seen to have come from Abdullah ibn Abbas. But if you want to know Madar al Hadith, you now go back to all of them. You start checking the various reports. It's a big, big, big job. It's a big job. It's a bigger job than the larger the number of those who have reported amongst the companions, then the larger work you have to do. But if the hadith has come from a single source, like the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, it has only been reported by Umar radiallahu anhu authentically from the Prophet alayhi salam. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, 50% of our religion has only been reported by Umar radiallahu anhu. And the one who reported from him, Al-Qama, has only reported, and so on and so forth, until it came to Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. And then others began to report from him. So now if you want to check Madarul Hadith, every person, everywhere you find that hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, the isnad will go back to that single person from whom all the rest of the people have reported it. And as I remember now, that is Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, rahimahullah. So Madarul Hadith requires you to check the sources. But Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf and his students have done that job for us now. They have made a book in 45 volumes where we can check the various asanid and where easily within 5-10 minutes you can determine Madarul Hadith. In some cases, you clearly mention it that all these people have reported from one person. And he will mention the name. He will tell you where you will find that report. He will tell you the hadith number and everything regarding it, so that what remains for you is to study the conditions and the reliability of those reporters. It's a very, very big job, requiring you to go through a lot of resource materials, research materials to determine Madarul Hadith. I hope that this brother who has asked this question about Madarul Hadith, he finds a good response, inshallah, for his question. Allahu alam.
Jazakumullah khairan ya shaykhana. Assalamu alaykum.
amino acids.
In a related one, sir, someone said in his own copy of Adab al-Mufrad, he has Ziyadun Ilako written as Ziyadun Alako, the fat is Ain. Is it the same person?
Ziyadun Ilako Abu Malik. The one you have found is here, Abu Malik. What I have found in Tahfidh al-Kamal was also Ilaqa. And that is to the dubt of Dr. Bashar. If you check Tahfidh al-Kamal, you'll find it as Ziyad ibn Ilaqa, Abu Malik.
Naam. Jazakumullahu khairan ya Sheikh.
Amin.
Someone says, please, can they assist with the clarification regarding the word wada'a in the two expressions in the hadith read? Illa wada'a lahu shafa'an, wada'a lahu al-haraj.
Wada'a essentially refers to placing. Placing can refer to remove it or place it on it. Because when you place something, you are either removing it from a place, as it is in the first expression, wada Allahu al-haraj. Allah has removed the haraj. Is it clear? This is how it was used, wada Allahu al-haraj. Allah has removed haraj. But in terms of illness, when he said fa inna allaha lam yada'a da'an illa wada'a lahu shay'an, Allah has not lam yada'a da'an, he has not brought, he has not placed, he has not put in place a sickness ghayra da'in wahidin, except that he said illa wada'a lahu shifa'an, except that he has also placed. You can see placement. In the first expression, it means remove, because that's also placement. When you remove, you are placing it somewhere. So when you say wada'a, wada'a Allahu al-haraj, Allah has removed haraj. In terms of the illnesses, he used it in two senses, placing and remove. So I hope that it is clear. So the context of the expressions will tell you what wada'a necessarily means here. Is it that it is placing on it or it is removing from it? It can mean either of the two, depending on what you refer to. I hope that it is clear. Wada Allahu al-haraj means Allah has removed it. Wada Allahu al-shifa'an, he has placed the shifa. Is it clear? Sometimes the particles that come along with the verb will indicate what it refers to. There are many words like this. Ma ragiba an sunnati. Ragiba an, ragiba fi, mean completely opposite things. Ragiba anhu, he does not want it. Ragiba fihi, he wants it. So it depends on the context and the things that are connected to the verb in terms of words like this that have meanings left and right, depending on the context where they occur. I hope that is clear about you soon.
Ma'am, yes, you can. Is there any fault on the person that is listening to backbiting?
Yes, there is a fault on the person that listens to backbiting. So you either stop the person who is backbiting, or you move away from him. When you listen to him, you are also encouraging him, telling him to go on. May Allah protect Allah.
Amen. Is narrating to someone what another person did to me that is bad regarded as backbiting?
If it is required to seek redress, perhaps you are three, one of you offends you and you are telling the third person so that he can reconcile between the two of you. It is lawful. and it is not counted as backbiting. Or you have a dealing with someone who has cheated you repeatedly. He had cheated you repeatedly. The other thought of you wants to now have the same dealing with him. He can call his attention to his heart. This person has handled me like this, so be careful. And so on. Things like this are also known in the Sunnah of Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We remember the man who was coming to visit the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And before the man got to them, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said to Aisha, radiallahu anha, he is Ibn al-Qawm, a very bad child of his people. When the man finally arrived, the Prophet was still cheerful, still related with him. So when the man left, Aisha asked, but he had just said that this man is the bad child of the people. Why are you now relating with him like that? Yes, I want you to know his condition. Sometimes we still keep easy relationships. We have evils that the people need to know about so that the people do not become deceived in the way they relate with us. Someone needs to be careful about them, then you need to say, oh, be careful about such a person. He may be funny. That's all. And that's all fight is like that. So if the situation requires further explanation, then you mention further explanation. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
No, yes, Jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen.
Based on the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that no deeds are more beloved to Allah than those done in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Is charity better? The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that says no deeds are more beloved to Allah than those done in the first 10 days of the Hijjah.
Yeah.
Is charity better in these days, in these 10 days, or in the days of Ramadan?
They are better in those days. They are better in the days of the Hijjah. Is it clear?
No, Mr. Khan.
Yeah. What we have read today only tells us that it has a lot of value. It doesn't mean that it is better than charity on all other days. Charity in Ramadan is better than charity outside Ramadan. Charity on those days of Al-Hijjah is better than charity in Ramadan. Is it clear?
The questioner is asking, he's saying, can the Sheikh give his advice on this issue, please? How can someone go about a situation whereby someone loans an amount of money to a knowledgeable person with the agreement that it will return it in a certain date? The date has expired. It's been months, but he hasn't said anything about it. This is a respectable person and the borrower is shy to ask. What can one do, please?
Ask him. The people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask the person. The knowledgeable person, the respected person that you have borrowed your money, you have a duty, you have a right to ask. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had bought a camel from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. They were upon a journey and the camel was not doing well. Jabir came to complain to the messenger, the camel was not doing well, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke some words to the ears of the camel, and the camel became very strong, agile, and fast. Later on during the journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Jabir, "Give me this camel." He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do you want to commandeer it, or I should give you as a gift? Give me as a gift. Gift it to me." Jabir said, I like to keep this camel with me. Right. The Prophet said, okay, sell it to me. And Jabir ibn Abdullah But the Prophet did not have anything to pay for that camel at that time. So they returned to Medina. And over time, the Prophet was not saying anything about it. Jabir asked him, Messenger of Allah, how about the money for the camel? Although there were cases when the Messenger was on the minbar, Jabir came into the masjid on the day of the Jummah, and the Prophet told him to observe the 2 minutes of prayer and sit down. Some of the scholars said that the way Jabir did it was a free, he was coming to ask him that money on the minbar. He told him, my friend, sit down. So if you have asked in a nice manner, in a respected manner, in an honorable manner, there is nothing stopping you. Jabir continued to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that money until the Prophet gave him the money. He gave him complete. Said, Jabir, this is your money. So you have a right to ask. That person, the knowledgeable, respected person, cannot be more knowledgeable and more respected to you than the Prophet was to Jabir. Yes, he did not stop Jabir from asking him to ask honorably too. He might have even forgotten. He might have even forgotten and an inability to pay you back. Maybe the reason why he had not mentioned, as was in the case of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. All of these things happened. They happened. The Prophet was a human being like us. He got indebted to his companions and they asked him. He did not remove anything from his honor and esteem, alayhi salam, because he was a human being like us. Anna basharun misluk, I'm a man like you. So you be human being like the companions too to ask if you need to ask. But ask honorably as they asked him honorably. I think this is just what I can advise Allahu Alam about that issue.
Jazakumullah khairan.